Welcome to EP Infrastructure results for 2018. I'm joined here today by Philip Bielak, Finance Director. We have published the presentation, which hopefully you can follow through. We will try to do the presentation in about 20, 25 minutes and then open the floor to questions. If we look at the executive summary, therefore, on page 5, we are continue to be a leading Central European group which operates in traditional energy infrastructure assets. Our core business segments remain the same, i.e. gas transmission, gas distribution, gas storage, distribution of electricity and provision of district heating. EPIF assets continue to be predominantly located in strong markets of Slovakia and Czech Republic, and as we will go through later, we've also acquired assets at the end of 2018 in Germany. EPIF's asset strategy remains exactly the same. We wish to be in regulated or long-term contracted businesses, and we wish to convert substantially higher parts of our operating results into free cash flow. So it's with great pleasure that we're able to announce the following results for financial year 2018. Firstly, EPIF reached consolidated sales of €3,106 million in 2018 compared to €3,104 million in 2017. On adjusted EBITDA, 2018, we produced a result of €1,466 million compared to 2017, €1,461 million. Our proportionate net leverage ratio as at 31st of December was 4.21, which is below our stated strategy and below the dividend lock-up covenant. Our free cash flow for 2018 amounted to €1,055 million, comparative 2017, €1,040 million. And finally, our group cash conversion ratio for 2018 stood at 72% compared to 2017, 71%. Overall, in summary, we are delighted with the full year performance. The strategy that we've outlined over the last years continues. Our strategy is to have predictable, stable returns based on a diversified group. We will invest in regulated or long-term contracted businesses, and therefore we give you what we believe is a highly pleasing set of results for 2018. If we move to page 7 of the presentation, the group structure remains as before, the core shareholders being EPH, a major energy group in Central Eastern Europe, owning 69%, and Macquarie's via their MEIF5 infrastructure fund with 31% of the equity. The structure remains the same: gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage and heat infra. We've added to the group, and again we'll go into that later, Pilsenska Teplorenska in our district heating division, and also Nafta Spiker, which is storage division in Bavaria in Germany. Core credit ratios of Czech Republic, Slovakia, and indeed Germany remain the same. And we place for you some overall numbers for 16, 17, and 18 of adjusted EBITDA, ranging from €1.46 billion to €1.46 billion. Free cash flow has increased steadily from 16, 17, to a figure in 18 of €1,055 million. Euros. Group cash conversion ratio remains highly satisfactory at a 72% compared to 71%. Proportionate net debt stood at €3.447 billion as of 31st December, Proportionate net leverage ratio stood at 4.21, and indeed we add in our release today full pro forma accounts, taking into account our acquisitions, and on a pro forma our net leverage ratio as at the end of 31st December 2018 was 4.1. If we move to page 8, we break down the key performances of the division by EBITDA, by cash conversion, and some of the key operating KPIs. We are clearly very satisfied with gas transmission, equally so with gas and power distribution. Heat infra was also strong, as was gas storage. We can go into the specifics of those businesses probably more in the question and answer session. If I hand over now to Philip Bielak, and he will take us through page 9 and onwards.
Yes, happy to. Thanks, Gary. And welcome everyone once again. So I'm just looking at slide number 9, where we can see development of results between 2017 and 2018. Again, I can emphasize very stable results. In terms of adjusted EBITDA, you can see only 5 million euro fluctuation, positive fluctuation between the years. If we dive into the individual segments, you can see that there is not really much happening, which is kind of expected for infrastructure assets at the same time regulated and long-term contracted. I would probably highlight one thing, which is the distribution and supply segment, where you can see a slight decrease in EBITDA, specifically at gas distribution arm of the segment, which is clearly due to the fact that 2017 was extremely cold, which in turn basically materialized in minor decline in distributed volumes and very minor decline in EBITDA. So that's probably what I can say about core operations. So again, very stable, in my view, predictable and kind of expected results. In terms of the other constituents of the profits, I have also included the other, I would say, non-core, rather accounting matters that were affecting the results. If I do have a look at it in a little bit more in detail, the kind of difference that is coming alongside every year is this so-called SOT, which is basically the mechanism in Slovakia under which all the distribution companies of electricity pay green subsidies to green producers. At the same time, they collect the cash back from the individual consumers. Typically, there is timing difference between the two, and this is then driving the accounting results. Whereas cash flow wise, it's neutral and stable. Specifically, 2017-18, there was no major cash flow impact on that. I can say probably one comment to this, and I am happy to discuss it in more detail regarding SOT. I can say that the situation should be solved, because in late 2018 there was a new legal act in Slovakia which basically states that the beginning of 2020 all these reimbursements and let's say clearing mechanism of green subsidies is supposed to be taken over by a state-owned company, OKTE, which effectively means that not only SSD but also the other distribution companies in Slovakia should no longer be incurring any deficit or timing differences starting 2020, which is very good news indeed and gives, I would say, increased transparency. With that, I would move to financing and financing strategy of EPI Group, which is basically page 11. As discussed before many times, basically there are two strategic aims of our financing, management. One is to continuously diversify the sources of financing available to the group. We were historically saying that basically we would like to keep approximately 50 to 70% of our financing located in bonds. That's still valid, and we will still discussing that further. And secondly, basically what we always tend to do is optimizing the debt alongside the EPI group, which we also do, and you will see some results from the past. By optimizing, I mainly mean, let's say, increasing of average duration of the debt, and if there is a possibility, obviously, to cut down on the interest cost. I would say secondly, in terms of a little bit of forward-looking information, if you allow me to comment on that, in terms of targeted financing structure of EPI Group, again, there was some development during 2018, as you might know. Approximately 600 million of bonds of EP Energy was repaid. It was repaid partly from cash and from EIF level. Therefore, this bond, basically the structure of the subordination relating to this bond, is gone. There is another bond on EP Energy that is due beginning of November 2019. Right now, the nominal value is 496 million. This is the bond that, as we communicated before, and we would like to keep to our promises, we expect to refinance on EPIF level again. We have already started to take steps in this respect. You might have noted some news in the press regarding private placement in the form of bonds that were placed on the Vienna Stock Exchange. And secondly, what we have launched is this so-called Schuldschein transaction that we expect to complete at the end of April. So it seems like we are basically taking steps in order to be ready for refinancing of EP Energy, which we would do latest on the maturity date, which is the 1st of November 2019. The other arm of the group, which is this SPPI, group that basically remains intact. We still expect to have net leverage ratio around twice EBITDA, which is a very comfortable situation for us. Again, there is still significant buffer in terms of leverage and, let's say, flexibility of distribution from SPPI group up to EPIF because of this shareholder agreement in place. So that's something that, as expected, remains in place. Finally, regarding this slide, what I would like to highlight once again is basically strong intention of both shareholders, namely ETH and Macquarie, to maintain the investment grade profile at all times, this is also basically stated in the shareholders' agreement, as well as strongly supported by the dividend lock-up covenant of 4.5 times proportionate EBITDA. Final word on that. In terms of EPIF, I can still confirm and happy to say that EPIF as a group is strongly ring-fenced from the rest of EPH as well as from Macquarie, so that that remains intact as well. Moving on to slide 12, you can see structure of debt, net debt as of the end of December. I would not probably repeat the numbers. What I would just highlight is net pro forma leverage of 4.1 times EBITDA, which is well below the management targeted leverage, which is around 4.3 times EBITDA. So in my view, very good result. I would then probably spend just 1 minute or so on page 13, which gives you basically very neatly the capital structure overview of EPIF as of the end of December 2018, where you can see the current structure. Basically, as I was saying, two arms, one being the EP Energy, which is going to be at the end of 2019. So EPIF shall be enjoying direct flow of funds from that subgroup. And secondly, SPPI group, where at the end of 2018, we reported a leverage of 1.8 times EBITDA. So again, you can see that well below kind of the targeted structure of twice EBITDA, still leaving significant buffer for let's say, future upstreams for EPIF and EPIF investors. That structure remains in place, fully in line with all the respective contractual agreements, such as the shareholder agreement between EIF and the Slovak Republic. So no big news. And finally, basically in terms of financing strategy and financial review, I just would like to draw your attention to the slide number 14, where, as we were discussing, basically we as management continuously aim to optimize our financial structure by predominantly extending tenors. So you can see that in 2019 we have basically refinanced 250 million of debt at NAFTA, which was due in 2019. So we did it in the beginning of the year. Simply, we do not leave the things to the very last minute. So you can see that this debt was extended until 2024. Again, like you can see, the maturity profile very, I would say, neatly organized. No significant spikes in terms of refinancing volumes. Again, I can say the 2019 EP energy bond of 496, we have already started to take steps how to refinance it on the EPIF level. So in my view, this is unless something happens, fairly complicated exercise. In terms of utilization of bank financing, that's the pie chart basically to the right. You can see again something I would say quite unique for EPI Group, and that's basically availability of various credit facilities, liquidity lines, committed loans that EPIF has at its disposal. At the end of 2019, available credit facilities undrawn and committed basically represented 561 million euros, so quite a considerable amount. We just simply would like to keep flexibility and be on a safe side and, let's say, be prepared for unforeseen matters. So I think this would be regarding financing and our strategy for the future. With that, I suggest that we quickly have a look at the individual business segments. So Gary, if you would like to discuss Ustream.
So Ustream remains the largest business division of the group, continues almost half of the European import capacity from Russia. It's a key strategic asset for the Slovak government that owns 51%. The tariffs, the next tariff period expires in 2021. Contracts remain 100% ship or pay contracts. There is also strong interest and reservations on our north-south entry point in Lanzhot, stretching out to 2043. The business continues to have high cash conversion, and we continue to have a standalone credit rating of Baa2 by Moody's and A- by Fitch with a stable outlook on the business. I'm sure there'll be many questions on Ustream, but in essence, the business remains exactly the same with regards to its financial performance 2018 to 2017. Philip, if you want to take us through gas and power distribution.
Yeah, exactly. Happy to do it. I think there will not be that much to be discussed because, as usual, I mean, this regulated and I would say very good visibility as for the results. I would say the only differentiating factor driving the results would be the distributed volumes, which in 2018 was strong, a little bit lower than 2017, which was extreme, but still yielding very good results. We are in the middle of a regulatory period that basically lasts until 2021. So still a couple of years ahead of us in terms of currently set up regulation, which you can see it's reasonably okay, giving basically considerable portion of fixed tariff in the structure. So again, in terms of visibility and predictability, very favorable. What I would like to probably highlight is again the strong cash conversion profile, specifically of the gas distribution business, were simply maturity of the infrastructure, meaning the pipelines was basically already constructed using plastics, which is highly durable and very long useful life. And basically the construction was completed in the 90s and early 2000s. So we are just in the, I would say, beginning of the lifetime of these pipelines. In terms of Středoslovenská energetika, Středoslovenská distribučná, I would say very similar picture to the one that we were presenting for the half year and year ends 2017. No big movements. Again, like only one thing to highlight is basically increased, I would say, visibility and clarity as for the SOT, which is described very well in detail on page 19. So from this point of view, very good results of our team, basically closing the discussions with the regulator and the ministry. As for the next segment, which is heat infrastructure, I would probably highlight a couple of things. As you might recall, it's basically the largest Czech district heating infrastructure and the largest heat producer in Hungary. In 2018, at the end of October, we have completed a strategic acquisition by means of a merger between Plzeňská Energetika, which is a company that was owned by us, and Plzeňská Teplárenská, which was at that time owned by the city of Plzeň, one of the largest cities in the Czech Republic. Basically, by this merger, we have acquired 35%. On the successor company, Plzeňská Teplárenská, and more importantly, management control, meaning that we can govern very well the operations of Plzeňská Teplárenská. I will spend a couple of words on that, why we actually did it. Plzeňská Teplárenská operates complete, I would say, residential heat infrastructure in Plzeň. So by the merger, we basically gained access to the residential customers of Plzeň. And also we foresee that because of the combined operations of the old Plzeňská Energetika and Plzeňská Teplárenská, we will be clearly having savings in terms of capital expenditures, for example, in terms to comply with environmental regulation as for the emissions that's expected. And also we would be able to manage better, let's say, the sources in Plzeň area to make some, let's say, synergies in that respect. One additional highlight for this acquisition, I would say, as part of that deal, we also acquired a waste incinerator plant, which is, potential future in terms of waste disposal in the Czech Republic, starting from 2024 or so. So again, like getting ready for the future. All in all, I would say very good news. With that, I would hand over to Gerrit for gas storage, so that we complete on business segments.
On gas storage, again, we remain the market leader, 25% of capacity in Central Eastern region of Slovak Republic, Czech Republic and Austria. We remain strategically connected to the Central European gas routes. A significant proportion of our storage is contractual long-term basis. Moderate investment needs continue. Cash conversion, in fact, 96% in 2018 reflects the cash generating ability of this division. We are also very delighted to reconfirm the acquisition at the end of 2018 of the storage assets in Bavaria from DEA. This has given us an important strategic entry point to the German market. The total capacity of the new assets is 19.9 terawatt hours, which represents 8% of the total German storage capacity. As per EPIF strategy, the majority of storage is contracted until 2023, and 76% until 2026-27. Pro forma adjusted EBITDA for last year was on the region of 26 million euros. That will decrease as part of the acquisition agreement from renegotiation of the long-term contracts, which now fully stay in place, as stated above. We're delighted that this acquisition not only fulfills the strategy of EPIT, but we're able further to leverage the commercial abilities of NAFTA. Within the deal, we acquired also 40 million euros of cash. We can confirm that the net acquisition price was in fact below 4x EBITDA. So as represented to you before, in storage, where there are bolt-on acquisitions that meet our strategic goals of long-term contracted high cash generation, then we will continue to acquire. So we're extremely pleased with that acquisition. To move on to the last two parts of the presentation, firstly, we should disclose to you subsequent events from 31st of December 2018. Philip?
Yes, sure. I would divide it into two parts, one being the financing and dividends. So just recapping of what happened in the past couple of months. As I was saying, in January 2019, NAFTA extended the maturity of its loan facilities of 250 million euro until 2024. So good news on the financing. On 5th of March, the group declared a dividend of 143 million to its shareholders, which was already paid. In line with the EP Energy Notes indenture, basically, we ran a collateral sale offer under the indenture governing the notes. As a result of that collateral sale offer, total of 2.75 million euro of nominal notes was taken off the market. So that's why I refer to the notes being due as 496 million. Latest on 1st of November 2019. Basically, in March 2019, EPIF mandated Commerzbank and Raiffeisen Bank International to arrange for at least 100 million Schuldschein loan, set like with possible demand-driven increase. The process is currently being I would say, in the final stage. We expect the process to be completed at the end of April. So very good news. Secondly, on 8th of April 2019, EPIF issued 8-year floating rate notes due 2027 in the total value of 770 million. This is basically the private placement that I was talking about in the very beginning. So again, like diversifying the sources of funds, very key for us, and extending the maturity. I would say the other part of the subsequent events is relating to environmental, social and governance matters. Clearly, we do view the areas of environmental, social and governance matters as being vital to the overall well-being of the EPIF group and also stakeholders, including the investors. So beginning 2019, for the first time, the EPIF group obtained ESG rating, average performer, from ESG rating agency Sustainalytics. So we see it basically as a first step in the process, and we are committed to further improve basically our awareness and, let's say, commitment in the ESG area by implementation of new ESG policies and disclosures, which should eventually, hopefully, lead to an upgrade also in the ESG rating. And secondly, what we plan to issue in relation to these subsequent steps, as I was just talking about, is basically issuing of debit sustainability report of EPI for 2018. We expect this to take place during summer, I would say probably end of August or so. So that's basically in terms of subsequent events, and I would probably give it back to Gary for closing remarks, if I may.
Okay, so we have the summary on page 27. The directors of EP Infrastructure Group are very pleased to present these results. 2018, stable, predictable, consolidated sales consistent with 2017, adjusted EBITDA consistent with 2017. And indeed, after our two acquisitions, our pro forma adjusted EBITDA reached 1.5 billion euros. We believe that the results have confirmed that our strategy of having regulated and long-term contracted activities within four diversified divisions gives us a very stable and predictable business environment, backed up with the fact that we continue to be committed to achieve a high cash conversion ratio, and indeed we did produce a 72% group cash conversion ratio in 2018. Our proportionate net leverage ratio stands well within management targets and also within covenants of the bonds at 4.21. We are clearly delighted that since we received the investment of Macquarie's, we then received three investment grades from the rating agencies. We were then very successful in launching our first Eurobond offer of 750 million euros. We were able to repay the second last bond of EP Energy of 598 million euros. We also, as previously noted, would do bolt-on acquisitions, and in fact we did, one in district heating of Pilsenska Temperenska and one on gas storage in Bavaria. Recently, as Philip has said, we've issued an 8-year floating rate note of 70 million. We believe strongly that a successful Schuldschein will be announced shortly, and we intend to refinance the final EP Energy bond at the EPIF level. In conclusion, everything that we predicted, we've delivered, and therefore the Board of Directors are happy to present this to you today. And therefore, Operator, we're happy to open to questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, that's star followed by two. And when prepared to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. As a reminder, that's star followed by one to ask a question. Our first question today comes from Mehmet Dir from UniCredit Bank. Mehmet, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. Just on the dividend payments for this year and for next year, can you give us an indication how much you expect to pay for the next year, as you have quite some cushion in your leverage towards the towards the 4.5 times leverage on a proportionate basis? Do you have any plans there? And then on the Plenska merger, what was the impact on your cash flow actually on the 2018 ones? Can you give us some information over there? Thank you.
On the first question, the directors navigate around 4.3, and there's no reason to suppose that we would change our overall philosophy on dividend payments. Clearly, when the Board of Directors makes a dividend decision, we look out on a liquidity forecast which stretches 2 years, and we take into account all items such as CapEx, et cetera, et cetera. So dividend policy, clearly I can't give you a clear answer on that, but there is no reason to believe that our existing strategy of navigating around 4.3 would change, and again would highlight that our cash flows are not skewed too heavily towards the cold winter seasons. In fact, significant part of our revenues being contracted are actually received on a monthly basis. So I think that probably answers your question. On the second question, it was the merger of, and I didn't catch, merger of what?
With the Plenska, whether that had an impact on cash flows or not. But I couldn't observe any.
Basically, it was a merger. So we have contributed our company, Plzeňská Energetika, with certain cash balance on it. On the other side, City of Plzeň contributed their Plzeňská Teplárenská with a significant balance of cash on it. I would say for both parties it was a win-win situation. For us, it's very strategic because clearly we wanted to gain access to residential customers in Plzeň and to also step on the synergies that are going to be available. As for the future, I cannot probably comment. It's clearly a heat infrastructure asset. So there might be some capital expenditures in place to be in line basically with regulation and with operational performance, let's say metrics. But I would probably say in line with the other assets of heat infrastructure.
Yeah.
And just a last question on the potential refinancing. What is the minimum cash amount you target to keep on your balance sheet actually?
Well, I was discussing this basically as part of the financing strategy. One is clearly the balance of cash that remains on the accounts. The other part of the story is the fact that we do have really excessive liquidity lines in place, right? So at the end of 2018, we had more than 560 million euro available in lines. So you can imagine that's fairly huge magnitude in terms of available cash, and that's something that that we also plan for the future to keep.
I think we draw your attention to the commitment of both shareholders for EPIF to be investment grade, and clearly this is one part of that equation, and therefore we would expect to keep relatively high cash balances throughout this financial year and beyond.
That's right.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
Our next question today comes from Paul Davey from Wells Fargo Asset Management. Paul, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I just wanted to ask if you had much more of an update around flows through the Ukraine. I know obviously you have the capacity booking from the Russian shipper, but is there any thoughts or visibility on how much of that is getting used or reverse flow opportunities, and whether the second round of this presidential election that's coming up is going to impact on any of the discussions that you're seeing around that?
Hi Paul, good to hear from you again. Many of those questions I can't answer, but let me try and give you some clarity. I think the first is clearly the Ukrainian presidential elections are coming to a close, and that has to be positive as then the new president or the old president, along with the European Union and Germany and Russia, will then start to focus on the transit agreement through Ukraine, which ends in 2019 with projected new requirements for a long-term transit agreement through Ukraine. I think therefore that the ending of the presidential elections is positive. The outcome of those negotiations, I think, remains to be seen. There are many public documents out there. I think Moody's is currently predicting something around 15 to 20 BCM as a new long-term contract. S&P, I think, put out a paper talking around 40 BCM. And there was a discussion, I think, between Mrs. Merkel and Mr. Putin around 30 BCM. And in fact, a member of the European Parliament 3 weeks ago was speaking around 60 BCM. So I think it's still, open to exactly what new contract will be negotiated. That they need a new contract, I think, is well accepted by all parties. And clearly we believe that the European Union in particular will use its auspices to enable the parties to come to a conclusion. With regards to shipments of gas flows, they remain, there are no ups or downs there. It remains totally as expected, the flows through Ukraine.
Cool, thank you much.
Our next question is from Christian Schultz, calling from PIMCO. Christian, please go ahead.
Hi Gary, hey Philip. Thanks for taking the questions and hosting the call. A couple of questions there. In the past, you spoke about the a review of the heat business in the overall structure. Just wanted to get an update on where this review stands. And then secondly, the NAFTA business that you've acquired. Should we look at this in the context of your previously existing gas storage activities? Is that managed as a portfolio, or is it more of a standalone business? And how does it change the sort of underlying volatility of what you've been looking at in the past? Linked to that, there has been an increase in the provisions that seems to come from your M&A activities in 2018. So I wanted to get a bit of a sense of what that means for cash generation as we look out into 19 and 20. And then finally, the refinancing of the EP Energy bond, just trying to get a bit of sense on timing and rationale why you let that become a short-term maturity of that size.
Okay, so I'll deal with the refinancing of the bond. Effectively, the business at end of 18 holds unused cash facilities of over 500 million euros. We had a successful private placement of 70 million euros. We believe within the next week we'll make a fairly successful announcement on a Schuldschein issue that we've done. And so effectively, EP Energy Bond 19 is something that, without saying too much, is something that doesn't concern us at the moment. We feel we have adequate facilities in place to repay that. We think from a credit perspective that'll be extremely positive, as it's the last subordinated debt in the chain. EPE can then be made debt-free, and EPIF then has more direct assets to that. With regards to impairment, Philip, would you like to take that question?
I think the question was regarding Naftas Pfeiffer, the new operations in Bavaria. If I was not mistaken, basically, in terms of the operations, it's very similar to those that are currently run by NAFTA in Slovakia and partly in the Czech Republic. So it's long-term contracted business, basically connected to the gas network in Bavaria. I would say very strategic acquisition. What we believe, again, emphasizing what Gary was saying, that basically the business is going to be run by the NAFTA team, so with a team that has basically vast expertise in the area. So we expect that we will be in a position to improve the operational efficiency, not only to rely on the existing contracted revenue streams. That's one thing. The other question, I think, was regarding the provisions, if I'm not mistaken, coming basically from the acquisitions. As you have noted, as part of the NAFTA Pfeiffer acquisition and also Plzeňská teplárenská acquisition, we have put on the balance sheet certain provisions. I would say these provisions are rather of long-term nature. In terms of NAFTA Pfeiffer, the gas storage facilities in Bavaria, it's basically primarily relating to decommissioning liabilities for those operations, which, given the long-term nature of contractual arrangements between NAFTA Pfeiffer and its customers, I would say it's really long-term situation and long-term, outlook that we will be covering the decommissioning far from now. As for Plzeňská teplárenská, basically there is certain provision on the balance sheet that is basically connected to the waste incineration plant. Basically, it's relating to the subsidies that are being paid to the surrounding, let's say, municipalities because of the facility basically standing in the region. So I would say something that is clearly relating to the business of waste incineration and will basically paid as it goes in regular, let's say, installments, annual installments, which are fairly low, to be honest. But the thing is, why the provision is significant, because basically the lifetime of the waste incinerator plant is quite long. It was actually recently completed, right? So that's as for the provisions. I think the very first question then related to the heat infrastructure business itself. I would say currently, except for the acquisition of Plzeňská teplárenská, I would say the situation basically remains unchanged. We still run the district heating system in Prague, which we basically do operate only as a heat distributor, because we buy the heat from elsewhere. the other plants and that we own and operate are also distributing the heat, be it the Plzeň area or be it the northern Bohemia and eastern Bohemia. So that remains, I would say, pretty much unchanged. Obviously, if your question was in terms of the regulatory aspects and environmental aspects, I can say that we do adhere clearly to all environmental norms. As I was discussing, it's fairly possible that there will be some refurbishment of the existing technology needed, but that's probably something that might come one day or the other, I would say, for all similar facilities. So in my view, basically not much happening. The customer base remains pretty much the same. The heat demand is clearly dependent on the temperatures rather than on something else.
And Christian, I just wanted to reconfirm what Philip said earlier, which is we actually now do have an ESG rating from Sustainalytics. We're taking on board more resources here to work on ESG. And in fact, EPIF will issue its first sustainability report in the following months. So if that's the angle of the question, then we're fully aware that we need to improve our ESG and to launch our first EPIF sustainability report, which will come to you. So we do listen to your advice.
Yeah, it was coming more from the angle of where this leaves your renewables M&A plans, because I understood in the past that swapping heat for renewables was one of the ideas that was floated among the management team.
I think the management team and the shareholders are constantly discussing the right strategy. Clearly, if you were looking forward and you were looking at infrastructure assets which are regulated or long-term contracted with high cash flow conversion, then effectively you would come to renewable. So I think in that aspect you're right. I think there's continual discussions at director level and at shareholder level, but I wouldn't say that we've reached any definitive conclusions. As per our original meetings, the most important thing was to get EPIF launched, to get it investment grade, to launch our first bonds, to effectively, as we're doing today, give our first year-end announcement of results. And I think as the investment community becomes more aware of EPIF, then we can probably develop strategic discussions a bit more. But the priority at the moment is clearly EPIF and its recognition within the investment community.
Great, thanks so much.
As a further reminder, to ask any final questions today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. We have another follow-up from Christian Schulz. Christian, please go ahead.
Yeah, just as the time still permits, thanks very much. Taking one more. Just want to get clarity that nuclear is not considered infrastructure from your perspective. No matter.
Confirmed.
Got it. Thank
Confirmed.
You.
Yeah.
We have no further questions registered, so I'll hand back to you, Gary.
So thanks for everyone to come on. As you know, Philip and I get a little restless, so hopefully we'll be travelling soon, and clearly we would like to visit you if at your convenience to update you further on the group. But thank you for your time. It's most appreciated, and have a nice rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.